But I'm not sure whether you're in Canberra at the moment or back home, but I know that you've been involved in Senate estimate hearings. To the layman, what does that actually mean?
And
what's come out of them that's of interest to us?
Look, it is a useful process and part of what the Senate does to actually scrutinise government and to make sure that taxpayers' funds, the money your listeners pay to the government every week, every fortnight, every month, is being used appropriately. So a lot of people see question time on TV and are forgiven for thinking that that's all politicians do when they go to Canberra. Well, another important function is this Senate Estimates Committee process. So the Senate breaks up into eight different committees that examine all of the government departments and agencies that are run by and funded by the Australian government. So the Department of Health or the Department of Foreign Affairs, the Department of Defence, the CSIRO, the ABC, SBS. All front up, their senior officials front up, sit at a table opposite senators from across the political spectrum and answer questions about how they've been spending taxpayers' money. How are you investing this? Why did you cut that? Why is this program no longer being produced? Is it, say, to the ABC? Why is the NBN being rolled out here and not here? To the NBN, of course. And so on and so forth. So it's a very investigative process. And each day, so this we're currently in budget estimates. So at the moment, we are examining the budget that was tabled, four weeks ago.
Yeah.
And we're examining each of the budget papers each day, and it's 2 weeks, Monday to Friday for 2 weeks. The Senate Estimates Committee start at 9 a.m. and go all the way through to 11 p.m.
Goodness,
14-hour day each day, and when you clock over to 4 o'clock, you realise you're halfway through the day. You realise how long these days are.
Better you than me, John. I think it'll do my head in, to be honest.
look, it's a very important process, and it's very, very good for democracy. This is where taxpayers get to understand how the money they invest in this country is being spent, and where priorities are highlighted, where issues are raised. Look, there are some not so good things that get revealed as well. There are things that have been revealed this time, the Australia Post chief executive having to stand aside after the purchase of those very expensive Cartier watches for senior execs for having closed a business deal. That's not okay to be doing that with taxpayers' funds at a time when we're using every spare cent we can to try and reopen the economy.
And the ICAC chair as well, that came out of the Senate budget?
The Australian Securities and Investment Commission.
ASIC, sorry, not ICAC.
Yeah, that's right. Look, those things, this is why this process is important, and it shows the process is working. These things do need to be aired, and we need to clamp down on it, and, you know, every government entity, every government agency, every government minister need to be aware of the fact that they need to be accountable for what they do, the decisions they make, and the very limited resource that is taxpayers' money being spent the way it is. So I'm pleased to see it working that way. It is a hard slog, but a very, very important part of the democratic process we are lucky to have in this country.
Well, people reckon politicians are overpaid. I'd suggest that you probably earn your money during those hearings.
you do it for the love of the country, and certainly not for the love of the money. And, you know, as I say, very important process.
Indeed.
Very, very illuminating too.
Recently, there's an announcement with the state and federal governments to set up something called the Landscape Demonstration Site Program. I know that you're the Federal Assistant Minister for Forestry. This is something that interests you and you're quite passionate about. And also Private Forestry Tasmania launched something called the Tree Alliance. Both of these happened on the same day. So can you take us through those, Johnny?
Yeah, well, starting with the Landscape Demonstration Site Program, this is a project which is going to help plant out 212 hectares of shelter belts and woodlots across seven farms across Tasmania. One of the things that we need to get our heads around is that farms and forestry coexist beautifully together. There are examples in Tasmania of where farmers have managed and planned out their farms in a way that they can take advantage of trees being a part of the ecosystem. Shelter belts provide shelter for grazing animals, for crops and the like. They reduce impacts of gusty winds and those sorts of weather events. They reduce evaporation as well, meaning that soil will stay moist for longer periods, which is better, particularly in the summer months, for grazing and cropping. So having trees planned out, the right types of trees at the right scale in the right place on a farm can actually improve farm productivity. On top of that, you've got the general environmental benefit of having trees sucking in carbon dioxide from the atmosphere, and if it's the right type of tree, of course, after, let's say, if it's a radiata pine plot that they've put in, after 28 or 30 years, they can harvest those trees, make some money out of those trees that have actually been productive on the way through for the farm, and we've got beautiful timber products out in the marketplace. So that's what the landscape demonstration site program is all about. And of course, the Tree Alliance, which is launched by the Tasmanian government entity, Private Forest Tas, is about drawing a greater link between farmers and forestry. There have been some bad experiences over time for farmers when it comes to forestry with the managed investment schemes of the past, where you saw lots of trees put in the wrong place, the wrong types of trees, and the wrong scale. And
yeah, there's quite a few people got burned, wasn't there?
Exactly. And when that scheme collapsed, yes, farmers still left with huge swathes of trees that they're going to struggle to deal with. I hope that we come up with a workable solution for them in the years to come, as soon as possible, in fact. But this is about taking away that fear, working with farmers to see exactly what the project I've just talked about, the landscape demonstration project, you know, how they can benefit from utilising trees as a productive part of their landscape and their business, but also finding ways to help farmers, because, you know, one farmer is not going to have enough timber on his or her farm to sustain a timber mill. So you've got to get farmers working together, to plant at the same time, to look to harvest it and thin their plantations at the same time, so that there is critical mass, so it becomes an economically viable proposition.
Yeah, and given the experiences on the past that we mentioned, some of them may take a bit of convincing.
That's true. Look, that is right. But at the end of the day, if it's done right, if it's done in accordance with best available science and done in consultation with you know, people who know what they're talking about in the forest industry, we are going to get a good outcome for them, for the environment and for the economy, and that's good news all around.
So absolutely.
They are two great initiatives.
Yeah. In well done. And on the subject of borders opening, of course, you are also the Federal Assistant Minister for Regional Tourism. You must be over the moon, the fact that our borders have reopened this week in New South Wales, possibly next week as well.
Yeah, it looks like from the 6th of November we'll have New South Wales as well, which just leaves us with Victoria being the one that is difficult for us to accept travellers from. But, we're headed in the right direction there. But I am over the moon. The first flight into Hobart, where passengers didn't have to quarantine, in fact, contained on it my in-laws.
Oh, wow.
So whether that's good news or bad news, I'll let your listeners decide.
You weren't pulling any strings behind the scenes there, were you?
No strings. If I were, perhaps they might have been on a later flight. But look, all in jest. But no, look, this is very, very good news for the entire state. Mm. For households who get to reunite with family members they've been separated from for extended periods of time, for people who want to conduct business interstate, or people who have business people they interact with, bringing them in, but most importantly, as they say, tourism. So yes, there's two new flights from Qantas that have been put on in response to demand. So there's the Brisbane Hobart route and Gold Coast Hobart with Jetstar, and there's also a new route between Sydney and Launceston, which has been put on for the summer holidays, which is going to begin in December, and that's going to be three return services a week, meaning there's an extra 900 additional seats on that route each week. And so that is just great news all round.
Mm, I guess
I know the example in South Australia, when they opened their borders, within 24 hours, 10,000 seats were sold between Sydney and Adelaide.
Goodness.
24 hours. So yeah, the demand is there. We're going to see people flooding in. We're going to make sure it's safe. Having compared the Brisbane border, I had to fly through Brisbane to get back to Hobart last week. The Tasmanian government job has got their act together. The border here and getting through the various steps you have to check your health and temperature and make sure all your paperwork checks out was a million times better than what was going on in Brisbane, I have to say. It took forever to get through Brisbane, in Hobart, it was, you know, in the blink of an eye. They were very, very good, very efficient. And I think a vote of thanks and a huge commendation to the Tassie government for getting it so right while maintaining safety here when it comes to COVID.
Indeed. Of course, the big thing will be when we open the borders to Victoria, because at the moment there's still no flights coming in or out of Burnie or Devonport at this stage. And the Premier suggested that maybe early December could be an option for us there as well.
Well, look, as I say, the numbers are heading in the right direction in Victoria. They seem to have things under control, and Victorians, the you know, families, the households, the men and women over there, they've all done the right thing. They've played by the rules. They've made massive sacrifices in terms of obeying the rules around COVID safety and ensuring there is no more spread of the virus. The numbers are heading in the right direction. I would love to see our borders open to Victorians in early December. Ahead of school holidays, ahead of the summer break. That would be just the tonic for our tourism industry. I'd love to see people flying into Burnie and Devonport, as you say, spending time in the regions and patronising our bars, cafes, hotels, restaurants. You know, that would be a wonderful thing, and hopefully that is exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah, and look, and they had two cases overnight and two deaths in Victoria as well, one in New South Wales, two in Queensland, both in quarantine, one in Western Australia, and the expression that's been used before is that we will have to live with this virus for a fair while, and I mean those numbers are probably as good as it's going to get, as long as we have, I know the state government have been very proactive on you know, getting sufficient contact tracing in place and able to react to an outbreak. We won't get caught with our pants down, so to speak, as we were with the last one.
Well, look, that's right. Having said that, though, and I think I might have said on your program before, Martin, you know, the outbreak in the northwest, while it wasn't a good thing to have happen, the way the state government managed that was textbook. It was held up as an example of how things should be done elsewhere. Had Victoria followed the Tasmanian government's lead, they'd have been able to clamp down on it very, very quickly and manage it in a much more effective way, just like happened here in Tasmania. So I'm confident that given the fact that we have to live with this virus until there is a vaccine developed and available widely, that we have everything we need to manage outbreaks when they occur. And as I say, when, because it is still there, it will come back. We just have to make sure we manage it as quickly, efficiently and as strongly as possible.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to get down to zero for forever and a day until the vaccine comes along. I think what the current figures is probably about as good as it's going to get. Jono, thanks as always for your time this afternoon. I really appreciate it. We won't be talking in a fortnight because I'm taking some holidays, but I will talk to you in a month.
Well, I hope you enjoy your staycation, if it is that, wherever
it's,
you are.
Yes, yes, getting on a motorbike with a couple of mates and going around Tasmania, so we're spending our money locally, which is what we have to do.
Exactly. Well, more of that should happen. Good on you. Enjoy the break, and we'll catch up in a month.